You ever talk to somebody and then you realize later, well, it's a really good question I should have asked. I guess in my world, we do it all the time. But with Drew Hanlon, I should have asked, what do you put on your tax returns? I mean, what do you list as your job? He's basically an NBA coaching guru to some of the biggest stars in the league. Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Zach LaVine, RJ Barrett of the Knicks. It's unbelievable, his clients that he has, and he's their personal coach. He's not on the staff of the Knicks. He's not on the staff of the Bulls or the Celtics or the Wizards. He's basically on retainer to some of the biggest names in the NBA, and he works on them with their game. They do film breakdown, certain skills that they consistently are talking about on the phone, and he tells a story that he's golfing, hanging out, and phone rings, and it's time to get on a plane. Somebody needs some personal coaching. That's what Drew Hanlon does. It's a really cool job. I mean, he said he goes to about 50 NBA games a year, flies around the country, meets with his clients, and we first knew about Drew Hanlon when he was playing high school basketball at Webster Groves. He was a great player, and they end up winning a state title. Has a nice college career at Belmont down in Nashville. And then along the way, he had started his own business. I remember he wrote a book, I think, on the game of basketball and how to coach it. Maybe when he was in college, started the Pure Sweat, which is a not an academy, but it's a school where kids learn the ins and outs of basketball. So he's always had a coach's mind. But really, at this point in his career, he is taken off, man. Coach K knows who he is at Duke. Brad Stevens of the Celtics, they all know him. Everyone around the NBA knows Drew Hanlon, and they know what he does. And that comes in, that is to come in and help the players get better at their craft. It's just about as cool a job, I think, as you can have. And really interesting, late in the interview, I said, you know, does a guy pay more if you're working on free throws? Or is it work on my free throws and my defense? And he said, I let them pay me whatever they think it's worth. And that's how he has the relationship. Now, granted, these guys have got tons and tons of money, but I thought that was really interesting because how do you set the price for something like that? And it turns out they pay what they think he deserves. I'm sure it's good money, but interesting philosophy to say the least. Drew Hanlon is the guest on the Kilcoin Conversation, and he's got a YouTube channel with a few hundred thousand followers. He is, like I said, well-known throughout the NBA. It's really a fascinating story. The Kilcoin Conversation presented, as always, by Appliance Discounters. They're well aware of all the no's, the cannots that those other appliance guys will tell you about. When you need that appliance, you need it right away. They want you to wait. Well, at Appliance Discounters, they want to make your life easier, offering a full in-stock 40,000 square foot warehouse full of those GE appliances. You want General Electric, they have it. Times are difficult enough. Don't wait 2 to 3 months for the appliance. Get it in just a couple of days. Lowest price, GE rebates, great service, all in stock, only at Appliance Discounters. You can shop any of their showrooms or online, theappliancediscounters.com. As always, our savings are your savings. Also, our friends at Triad Bank, St. Louis-based bank, started in 2005. Five-star rated bank. So if you're a business owner and you're trying to get stuff done, why not deal with the bank that's based in St. Louis? That's Triad Bank in Frontenac on Clayton Road. Get on the web. Find out more at triadbanking.com. And Marie Davila, senior living, located at the corner of Clayton and Weidman Road, premier senior living villa estates, assisted living, just a beautiful campus. They've always got the fountains going for the Blues playoffs, Cardinals playoffs, just a festive, beautiful spot. Marie Davila, M-A-R-I-D-E, Villa, mariedavila.com is where you can take that virtual tour. Now, the Kilcoin Conversation with Drew Hanlon.
Drew, I want to start with the fact you've got two of your guys, Embiid and Beal, going head-to-head. We always ask coaches about facing their former team like Tony La Russa, now with the White Sox, had to manage against the Cardinals. How about for you when you work directly with these guys and then they're on the same court? Is it fun to watch, or is it – I mean, I guess you don't have to root for a team, right? Just root for both of them to go off?
Yeah, I just really am just hoping that both of them have great games. And it's funny, you know, there was a time period before game one where I was in Brad's hotel room. We're staying at the same hotel. And so I'm doing film with him, preparing him for the game. And right afterwards, I you know, rode over to the facility to work out Joel and get him prepared for the game. And so, you know, you have those moments. And then also you have the fans that, you know, are around you that are kind of questioning who you're rooting for. You know, you'll see, you know, Joel hits a fadeaway and I'm like, there we go, Joel. And next play down, you know, Brad hits a step back jumper and I'm like, yeah, Brad. And they're like, who are you cheering for? You know what I mean? And so for me, it's definitely, you know, I'm all in for my guys and I'm not really cheering for one team, but I'm hoping both of my guys have great games.
How are the teams with players having their own, you know, quote unquote personal coach? Is it pretty common these days, or do you get the access to be with the guys, or do you have to always meet offsite?
No, we get access. I mean, really, it's all about making sure that you're, one, transparent, two, you're collaborative. You know, as long as you're making sure that you're transparent in what you're doing, what you're preaching, the messages that you're pushing, and then as always, and the biggest thing is being collaborative, making sure that, you know, the teams are a part of the process and making sure everybody's pushing and pulling the player in the same direction, then it makes sense. So early on in my career, I will tell you that there were some teams that, you know, hadn't worked with me, or I didn't have the same reputation that I do now. And so, you know, they were a little bit more hesitant to kind of welcome me in, but now I've been in the industry long enough. People know that, you know, I study the game, I break down the film, I look at the analytics, and then I provide kind of detailed, you know, kind of improvement plans for all the guys. And so they appreciate, you know, that I'm on board and helping these guys become the best possible players that they can be.
Who was your first NBA client and how did that come about?
Well, it's kind of in between. You know, my first NBA, the first player that I ever really worked with, you know, on an individual basis was Brad Beal. When he was 13 years old, we started working out. At the time, he was just a freshman at Chaminade. I was a senior at Webster Groves. And so, you know, he wasn't an NBA player at the time, but he became obviously an NBA player. But that led me to David Lee. David Lee was my first ever NBA client. You know, I remember, you know, we played all on the same St. Louis Eagles team, which now Brad Beal Elite AAU program. And some of the coaches, Eric Long, was kind of pushing David towards me and was like, hey, man, you should really try this, you know, this guy out. I know he's young, but he works with, you know, a lot of the top players in the area. And, you know, he's really detailed and really good with the skill development stuff. And so David finally gave me a chance. You know, he said, hey, listen, I'd love to work out with you. And he said, yo, and later on, he told me in full transparency, I thought I was just going to give you a chance just to kind of shut, you know, Eric Long and the Eagles coaches up and say, hey, I tried the young kid, and I'm moving in a different direction. But that one workout turned into the rest of his career, me being his skills coach. And we have a great friendship. Now we talk more about golf than basketball, but you know, it's amazing how those little things happen. And the rest has just been word of mouth since then. You know, once I was able to help David become an all-star, once Brad was drafted third in the NBA, and then once some of these other guys, you know, reached kind of the, you know, the levels of success that they've reached, you know, now word of mouth speaks for itself, and I've been able to attract a lot of other clients.
Yeah, let's run through a few of these. So, like R.J. Barrett and the Knicks, there's a kid that went to Kentucky. Do you contact him? Does his agent call you? How does that even start?
So RJ and I first started out when he was 15 years old. On his 15th birthday was the first time that we ever worked out. You know, at the time, the first 3 years of Andrew Wiggins' career, I worked with Andrew. So, you know, his first 3 years in the league, I was his skills coach. And so him being a Canadian, RJ being a Canadian, you know, I got that connection. And so I went up on RJ's 15th birthday, started working out with him. We'd work out like maybe 1 or 2 weeks a year. So it wasn't like I was his full-time trainer. It was just me kind of giving him some things to work on. And then after he finished up at Duke, we went all in at the during the pre-draft process. And we've been working together ever since. And he's a guy that, you know, this year obviously broke out, huge improvement, you know, jumped from 31.5% or 32% from three all the way up to above 40%. Free throw line, you know, he shot under 70% last year, now is in the high 70s. So, you know, he's another example of a guy that's an extremely hard worker. He's put in purposeful work and I'm glad, you know, that he's got the results that he's got such early on in his career.
Did you go to games at Cameron? Would you walk in? Did you get to see him at Duke?
I did not see him at Duke. It's weird. I've been at Duke multiple times. I went and saw Jason play against North Carolina. When he had a big poster dunk, we were right there, you know, right behind their bench. My senior year at Belmont, we actually played, we opened up the season and played at Duke. We ended up losing by one, but it was a great game. I hit 4 3-pointers in the second half. So it was one of those things that as a kid, you know, you dream about playing in the NCAA tournament, and then you dream about playing against the Dukes and Kentuckys and North Carolinas. And so for me to be able to kind of realize one of my childhood dreams playing at Cameron was really cool. But, you know, I'm friends with all the coaching staff, and, you know, that's one thing that's fun for me is, you know, when I was a little kid, my birthday present used to be a ticket to the NBA, to an NBA game. And my Christmas present would be the flight to the NBA game. You know, I looked forward to going to those NBA games. And now, you know, my job, I go to 50 plus NBA games a year. I have to, you know, analyze, but I get to help the best players in the world get even better. And it's fun to be a part of that process.
Well, you mentioned Bradley Beal, and I think all of us who saw his high school career, we knew he was going to the league, but I don't know if we knew he was going to be a superstar. I mean, we're talking about one of the top 10, top 15 players in the entire game, which would probably make him in the world. Where has he gone from those early days at Chaminade to now? How has he elevated? And did you always think he was going to be a, quote, star?
We always believed in him. I think that we'd both be lying if we said, hey, you know, you're going to be one of, you know, there's five guys right now, Brad included, that have averaged back-to-back 30-point seasons in the modern-day era. And you're talking about Michael Jordan. You're talking about Kobe Bryant. Talking about Allen Iverson. You're talking about James Harden and Brad Beal. And I think that, you know, we'd both be lying if we said that we thought he'd be in that category when he was a 13-year-old when we first started out. Now, truthfully speaking about that, a couple years back, Brad became an all-star. And we always thought he had all-star potential. We always thought that he could be, you know, among the elite players. But when he did that, you know, that next summer, Brad said, what's next? And I said, do you think you could average 30 points a game? And he kind of thought about it. He paused for a second. He was like, yeah. And I said, listen, that means you don't believe that you can truly average 30 points a game. And he's like, no, you know, I could average 30 points a game. And I said, what would you have to do to average 30 points a game? And we started breaking it down, you know, getting to the free throw line more, shooting more threes, you know, mixing in a couple different extra elements to his game. And, you know, that's what we committed to. You know, it was one of those things where it was when John Wall was hurt. So we knew the Wizards weren't really a contending team. And so Brad needed something to motivate him. And we said, can you put yourself among the elites in scoring? And for him to be able to do that in back-to-back seasons, and then also do it, you know, against the kind of schemes and coverages that have been thrown at him has been so impressive. And so, you know, for him to be in, you know, right there at the scoring title, he led most of the season. And I know Steph Curry went on that crazy run at the end to kind of surpass him at the end. But for him to be number two in scoring the last 2 years and put over 30 points a game, it's just a true – what it is it's a true testament to how hard he works and the mental side, you know, that Brad has. Because I think the thing that separates him from everybody else is just he's got a supreme level of confidence and belief in himself that he's had from an early age. It just makes him a killer and a dog out there. And I think that's what truly separates him as a player.
And I have to say, all these guys, no matter how young they are, whatever, they're making gobs of money, just insane money. He seems to always have been the same. Like, we interviewed him when he was in high school, then a little bit in college. And since he's been in the league and doing stuff in St. Louis and getting involved with charities, I would think, you know, that the dangers of the league, a lot of it is these guys change. And that could include work habits. But I feel like he's changed very little despite all the celebrity and all the money.
Not at all. In fact, he's using his money to give back to a ton of different organizations and a ton of different programs, both in St. Louis and D.C. and elsewhere. Last year, he won the NBA Community Assist Award, which was, you know, given to the player that basically has the most impact in the community. Which just speaks volumes to who he is as a person, not only him as a player.
And then Jason Tatum, another Chaminade guy. I think we thought he would be a star. I mean, I don't think we doubted that coming out of high school even, but maybe he got there quicker. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's funny because, you know, when he was entering the NBA, during the pre-draft process, scouts had a few concerns. Number one, they didn't think he could shoot. And, you know, we tweaked his shot after Duke and, you know, he goes on to shoot over 40% his rookie season. And now, you know, he's a career sub 40% three-point shooter. Second thing, you know, was they didn't think he was athletic enough. And sure enough, his rookie season, you see him put LeBron James on a poster in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, we said, how athletic do you really need to be? I mean, if you're dunking on LeBron James, I think you have enough athleticism to make it happen. And the third concern was defense. And last year he got, I think it was 36 or 38 all defensive team votes which didn't get him on the team, but it meant he was one of the others receiving votes, which just shows that he's worked extremely hard on the things that people thought he wasn't going to be able to do, and has actually turned all three of those into kind of strengths, you know? And so I think that there is no ceiling for him. I think that he's going to continue to, you know, expand and develop his game. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that is a, you know, a perennial all-star and eventually, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
And the other thing with him is he filled out. I mean, he was so tall and so skinny, and you could just see if it ever came through, and his dad's a big, strong guy. I feel like to make it in the NBA, to last and to be a star, that was the next thing too, is he had to kind of fill out, and he has.
He's gained a ton of weight in a good way. You know, some people you see that they put on pounds and it slows them down, or they put on pounds and it makes them more, you know, vulnerable to injuries and stuff like that. But he's just, you know, he's tried to basically put on a pound of muscle every month that he's been in the NBA, and he slowly does that. During the off season, it's a lot easier. During the in season, you know, you're kind of more maintaining the strength and making sure that you're, you know, doing prehab to prevent injuries instead of, you know, risking, you know, yourself to those injuries that you don't want to have. So, but he's done an amazing job in the weight room. He's had some great guidance from the Celtic strength staff. And, you know, again, another worker. That's the thing that I love about all the guys that you've mentioned so far that I work with. They're all, you know, they all crave improvement. They all are, you know, hard workers, and they're never satisfied. They're always looking for ways to improve. And, you know, you see there's times where Brad had a 60 point game earlier this season. And, you know, I know Jason did as well, but Brad had a 60 point game this season. And the first thing after the game, I said, damn, I said, you are cold. I said something like that. And his immediate response was, you know, man, I could have, you know, and he started naming off all the things that he could have done to get 70 and to win the game. And so that's where these guys, you know, mentalities are. You know, they're always seeking improvement. They're always craving feedback. They're always willing to put in the work because, you know, they're trying to become the best versions of themselves and become, you know, the best players in the world.
So when you walk in, does Doc Rivers or Brad Stevens, do they know you at this point? Say, oh, here comes Hanlon. He's going to work with Jason. He's going to work. I mean, do they see you and know you?
Yeah, I know. I know all the coaches around the league. There's not any players or coaches that I'm not, you know, familiar with or know. So there's a mutual respect. But again, you got to remember, it takes time to build those relationships and to build the trust. And I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, I appreciate and I value is not breaking those guys' trust. You know, I'm not going to ever tell Jason to do something that Brad Stevens doesn't want him to do. I'm not going to ever tell Joel Embiid to do something that Doc Rivers wants him to do. My job is to make that player the best version of themselves in order to help that team win games. And so if we're all pushing the same messages and we're all, you know, filling our role, my role is, you know, making sure that I'm analyzing the film, I'm analyzing the analytics, I'm breaking down their skill components so that they're making jump shots, they're taking advantage of what the defense is giving them, et cetera. And the coach's job is to put those players in the best roles and situations so that they can take advantage of all the skill that they have. And so, you know, we all play our role. And as long as we're staying in our lanes, then, you know, the player has the best chance of being successful, which is all that matters.
And you're their coach. They need to listen, right? I've heard you could be tough. Do they? You don't pussyfoot around with these guys, do you?
Not at all. It was actually funny. I was back in St. Louis for like a 2-week break before the postseason because I knew I was going to be, you know, gone for the whole postseason. And after the postseason, I immediately go out to LA for offseason training. And, you know, it was my dad and mom got to experience some of the FaceTimes of me talking to these guys after the game. And it was funny. My dad goes, I do not know how these guys take all the trash talk and all the criticism that you give them and the way that you do it. But, you know, when you build those relationships and you build the trust, you become brothers. And you know, I don't speak to them any different than I would speak to any of my best friends. And, you know, it's a cool relationship when you guys are working together to achieve a common goal. And the truth is, I'm a small piece of the puzzle. You know, my job is to be like the GPS. You know, I'm the one telling them where they need to go, but they're the ones driving the car. And so, you know, anytime they make a wrong turn, it's my job to reroute them and get them back on track. And but ultimately, as long as we're working together, we're going to eventually get them to where they want to get to. And that's what it's all about, results.
You mentioned mom and dad, so we should give a shout out here. Hanlon Meats, the butcher shop in Kirkwood on Manchester Road. My only question there is how does the Hanlon Webster Groves family have a butcher shop in Kirkwood? That's the only thing I've never figured out.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it's one of those things. My dad let me decorate his meat shop, you know, in the heart of Kirkwood for my senior year Turkey Day game. We had it all black and orange. And let's just say there weren't, there were some unhappy customers, but they understood it just because, you know, my dad and my grandpa at the time were both so supportive of, you know, my playing career and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm always appreciative that he let us do that for 1 year, but you know, most of the years it's still in the red and white, even though, you know, his son was a Webster Groves grad.
Yeah, revenues were down for a week thanks to you and the black and orange. I'm wondering, like a guy like Zach LaVine, how does he come to you? Like years, and he's kind of come out of nowhere. I know he's a first round pick, but in terms of star potential, tell us about that relationship.
Yeah, it's actually cool. So I was up working out John Wall when I was a senior in college, and John had a basketball camp, an exposure camp. And Zach was one of those guys that he was at the camp, but we really didn't know he was there. You know, he wasn't a top kid. And so we had some private workouts where we invited like 10 of the top, you know, kids in the high school class to come work out with John. And Zach wasn't one of those kids. And I remember Zach coming up to me and saying, "Hey, do you mind me coming and watching the workout? You know, I didn't get invited to the workout." I'm like, "Oh, totally fine." Didn't know who he was. Well, Zach chipped away during the breakout camp and ended up getting invited to the All-Star game and did like a between the leg dunk in the All-Star game. We were all like, man, we were blown away by his athleticism. And so that happens. That's my first impression of Zach. And sure enough, at UCLA, you know, they played against Mizzou that year. And, you know, I went down to the game and met with him. And we decided, hey, I was going to be his trainer for the draft process. And so UCLA, he didn't play much at UCLA. You know, he didn't play a big role. He was coming off the bench. He was projected 29th in the draft. And I said, there's no way that this kid with extreme athleticism and an insane work ethic, there's no way that those two things don't eventually pan out. And so, you know, I really believed in him. He believed in himself. He had worked really hard with his dad. You know, his dad is one of the best workout parents I've ever seen. You know, one of those guys that it's not just harder on him, but he pushes him. He's always thinking, you know, how can he get better? And so I just joined that equation. You know, we moved Zach up in the draft to 13th, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since. But, you know, we've always known he was going to be special. And we tried to tell people, but you know how it is. You know, everybody brags about everybody, so it's hard to kind of pick apart, you know, what's real and what's not. But I think, again, another guy that, you know, he worked himself in. He was a top seven scorer in the league this year. He did it efficiently, shooting over 40% from the three-point line, you know, shooting over 85% from the you know, free throw line, and I think close to 50% from the field. So he's a guy, another guy that, you know, he's still young and he's got, you know, his best years ahead of him.
Are you offered a lot of jobs or teams ever saying, hey, come work with us? Hey, I mean, I'm thinking for you, wouldn't be as much fun. You got a perfect gig right now, but do teams ever reach out and say, join our staff?
Yeah, every year. It's funny. I'm really close with a bunch of the GMs around the league, and a lot of times after the season ends, I'll get the annual text message. It'll say, hey, we know you're going to say no, but just wanted to do our due diligence. You know, is this the year that you're going to join a staff? But the truth is, I'm a loyal guy, you know, and I could never see myself working for a staff and then, you know, helping that staff, you know, shut down one of my clients that I've spent years and years with. You know, the thing that I take most pride in is actually being there for their entire careers. You know, I think there's a lot of players and athletes that they bounce around from trainer to trainer, or you see, you know, them with a different person each summer that's impacting their game. But, you know, all the guys that we've mentioned, I've been with them for their entire NBA careers. And I would never selfishly choose myself over them. And so I'm always trying to, you know, prioritize them and make sure that I'm there for them, however I can assist.
So I don't really know where you live. I'll always ask your dad, where is Drew these days? He said, Hold on. I think he's in Philly. No, he might be in Boston. Like, are you on the road constantly?
Nonstop. Yeah. I don't even have I own places. But I don't stay in those places. So, yeah, LA during the off season, then during the season, I'm just bouncing around to client to client. I always like to say I'm like a basketball surgeon. Whenever something's broke, I'm there to fix it. So, you know, I'm on call 24/7 and, it's not the easiest life to, you know, to have kind of your roots, you know, down in one place, but it's definitely a rewarding life when you get to impact, you know, players' lives and get to, you know, help them realize their dreams, which is something that I take extreme pride in.
So how does it work? A lot of these were relationships you had, and then it's word of mouth, but do you get a text from an agent or a call that says, hey, my client is so-and-so and he's having a terrible year, or he can't make his free throws, or how does it happen?
Most of my clients are full time, you know, like the guys that we've been with. And so those guys I'm directly communicating with on a day-to-day basis, send them pregame scouting reports, postgame video analysis, you know, where I'm basically doing voiceovers on top of their clips to share with them what they could have done better. And then if we see them in a slump, if we see there's an issue, or if they're see somewhere where we can grow and expand their game, then, you know, I'll just get on a plane and next night we'll be in the gym working. So, you know, my schedule is, you know, on a last minute notice. You know, the other day I was taking a golf lesson in St. Louis. I was over at Belle Reve, and during the golf lesson, my phone's going off. I look at it. Hey, you know, I need you up here, and boom, I get on a flight. You know, I'm at a 2 o'clock golf lesson, and by 4:45, I'm, you know, I'm at the airport off. And that's just how it works. But, you know, I've learned to be extremely flexible and make sure that I can, you know, assist these guys whenever they need help.
All great players that we mentioned, but Joel Embiid seems one of those who's made the leap too in the past year or so, and he's healthy and it's a good team. Give us an idea of where he was and where he is now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a couple things that went into the year that he's had. I think the first thing is, you know, he's an extremely hard worker. He's a film geek. And so what we did was we analyzed kind of what held him back in previous postseasons and previous seasons, and what he could do to make sure that teams couldn't throw schemes and rotations at him that slowed him down. You know, he's never been a guy that you couldn't put one guy on him. You always had to throw double teams and triple teams at him. And so, you know, being able to kind of strategically, you know, enhance his ball handling so he could face up more, which makes him harder to guard. Being able to play more off of a jab step instead of a back down, again, then he can see all the double teams coming. It makes him a better passer. It makes him a better attacker. Being able to add, you know, a 3-point shot this year. He shot, you know, 38% this year from three. That, you know, expanded his game. So now they had to guard him more honestly out in the perimeter, couldn't sag back and pack the paint. And then a couple other nuances that I wouldn't mention just because they're things that we think that teams are going to throw at him in the playoffs that he's prepared for. But that'd be the first thing. Also, it helps the Sixers, you know, did a great job, you know, adding shooting around him, which gave him space to, you know, navigate and shooters to kick out to when they did double team. So I think there's a bunch of things that you could, you know, credit, but I always give credit to the players just because they're the ones putting in the work and they're the ones that are ultimately out there on the court getting the results.
I've thrown this out there. Maybe you know the right people. What about an exhibition game with Beal and Tatum? We get the Wizards and Celtics next fall. I mean, nobody cares about an exhibition game. Put it down at the Enterprise Center. St. Louis would probably really pack the house for that.
Before COVID, you know, they did all those preseason games all over the country, and we had actually talked about it as well. You know, that was something that you know, we even dating back to the David Lee, Brad Beal days, we were like, man, that'd be cool to kind of have those guys play in St. Louis. But I do think that once they get back to preseason games being hosted in non-NBA cities, I think that they'll definitely make the Jason Brad matchup in St. Louis happen.
All right, if Shaq told you to fix his free throws back in the day, could you have done that?
I believe I could have. I believe I could have. You know, I've been able to change a lot of guys' shots, and, you know, I'm not saying that everybody's had the perfect shot, but it's one of those things where I definitely think that we could have gone in the right direction, which is, you know, up from his career sub 60% three-point free throw shooting.
And your whole operation goes beyond you, right? So Pure Sweat, people can go to actual camps and – there's more than just working directly with you at the NBA level. Tell people what else is available.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I always take pride in is, you know, helping the kids like me, the kids that were, you know, in the driveway working hard, in the gym working hard, and didn't really know what to do. And so, you know, I created an iPhone app a couple years ago. And so my Pure Sweat iPhone app allows players to have access to the same workouts I do with my NBA clients. You know, I created an online basketball, you know, school. You think about it, you know, we learn how to do math and social studies and science, but you can't really go anywhere to learn basketball. You just have to be around, you know, good basketball minds. And so I created an online school for coaches. And then I just bought Pro Scout School, which is the best event for people that want to get in the front office and scouting, you know, department. So really, I'm just trying to full service everybody that has a passion for the game of basketball, whether you're a player, coach, scout, trainer. You know, I try to make sure that I'm helping you as much as I can, just because I know that, you know, those resources are very limited, and, you know, a lot of people are out there and they want to do something. They just don't know where to start. And so, I decided to create a bunch of platforms to assist those players and coaches and scouts and trainers so that they had a little advantage over everybody else that's just starting from scratch.
And you mentioned you'll get the late night call or the afternoon text. Are you basically on retainer? They just pay you to be their guy and you have to be, is it like a lawyer on retainer? Is that how it works?
A little bit. The only difference is, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, lawyers are nickel and diming you. For me, I just tell them to pay me whatever they think it's worth whenever they want, which I know seems scary. And in most people's minds are like, wait, you don't know when you're going to get paid or how much you're going to get paid. But we just develop a relationship where it goes beyond money. I don't ever want money to come between us. So if they want extra work, I don't want them thinking about, well, is it worth this much money to bring them in? So I literally just tell them to pay me whatever they think it's worth, whenever they want. And fortunately, you know, my clients have accumulated $1.6 billion in contracts. So it all works itself out in the long run.
So you literally say whatever you, I mean, like if a client called tomorrow and said, I want to sign on, you'd say, here's the rate. No, there is no rate. I thought it was going to be like a Chinese menu where they'd say, all right, fix my free throws. That costs this much. Fix my three-point game. Fix my defense. It's not like that.
No, it's not like that at all. And it's there's nothing hourly. We don't keep track of anything. You know, I just want – I'm going to do everything that I can to help them improve their game. And, you know, if I take care of them, I know they'll take care of me in the long run. And, you know, I've never had any issues with that. So, I think that's a blessing of growing up, you know, in a humble background and stuff like that. You don't worry about the money. You let, you know, you just help as many people as you can and know that if you impact as many people as you can, then, you know, the money will take care of itself.
Well, Drew, great to catch up and have fun with these NBA playoffs. And sure, it's more fun for us when we have St. Louis kids, but especially for you when you got all your clients involved.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I hope to see one of them. I don't know which one, but I hope to see one of them, you know, secure a ring this season. That'll be a step in the right direction for sure.
Well, every time somebody says, whose job would you like to swap with? Wouldn't that be cool if you could do that? Man, I got to tell you, that's hard work. You're always studying film. Got to be available to hop on that plane at any second. And, you know, you're in the gym a lot. You're sweating, you know, Pure Sweat, the name of his company. But as far as fun jobs go, coaching some of the best in the NBA, that's a pretty cool gig. We appreciate Drew Hanlon on the show. I've been to his dad's place, his grandpa's place, Hanlon Meats. We should give them a little plug here as well. Not a sponsor. Maybe they should be. On Manchester Road, located in Kirkwood. It's right up the road for our loyal St. Louis listeners. You remember the old Two Nice Guys in Kirkwood? It's right up the road from where that was for so many years. Hanlon Meats. That's Drew's dad, Brady, behind the counter. Grandpa used to work there for many years. I don't know. That's how I first met the Hanlon family, and all of a sudden they got a kid who's great at basketball, and now here he is connected to the biggest names in the game. As always, we want you to subscribe. If you haven't yet, make sure you do. Write a review. That also helps us out. Spotify, iTunes, and also at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. All of the segments are posted there on Dan McLaughlin's website. So appreciate you listening. The Kilcoin Conversation, as always, brought to you by Marie Davila, Senior Living, Appliance Discounters, and Triad Bank. I'm Martin Kilcoin. We'll talk to you again soon.